What if a Hollywood reboot or remake wasn't concerned with continuity or established lore, and was instead a movie?
This week, we try to find out by reviewing the latest installment in the DC Extended Universe, The Batman. Hello there, Mike.
Hello, Josiah.
Ooh.
And hello.
Oh, sorry.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is a break from form.
That was a tease for your Patreon, for everybody who's not paying.
Patreon.com/HowStarWarsIsIt. And welcome to the show, How Star Wars Is It?
That's right. This is the show where we rate things on a scale of 1 to 10 of not of how good or bad they are, but of how Star Wars they are.
That's right.
What does that mean?
That's what it means. There's chili, I think, is somehow involved.
Chili is involved. It is, you take everything, you put it in one big pot, and that's a chili. So, this week we're talking about...
If for whatever reason this is your first episode, and you don't understand the chili thing, we explain it in all the other ones, but basically we compare things to Star Wars.
Yeah, there you go. I did just describe a chili, just like in general, just now. You take everything, you put it in one big pot. That's a chili. And that's a chili right there. But this week we're talking about the Batman, and we've got a special guest.
Yeah.
Past and no doubt future guest, yeah. In fact.
You know him from the How Star Wars Is It podcast. Yeah. And his own YouTube videos.
Maybe. That'd be nice. But probably just from this.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
And from other episodes of this.
Welcome to the show, Michael Delaney.
Hi.
Woo!
Thanks for having me.
You know him as the inventor of Are You for Calrissian?
Are you for Lando Calrissian?
Welcome to the show.
To the listeners and to
Delaney. We're talking about the Miami University, or University of Miami. No, Ohio
the
State.
The Ohio State University.
We're talking about the Batman today.
Right out the gate, let's talk about the title. Because Charlie, my girlfriend, contends that it makes her feel silly every time she has to say it. Because it makes her feel like her mom or something being like, now, have you seen the Batman? Like, the Batman, you know?
Right.
And I
did you
I
go
like,
down
yeah.
to the Kroger?
Yeah, putting the in front of things that don't need a the.
Right.
Now, did you see the Spider-Man?
I think it's kind of funny because, like, my sisters probably won't see this movie. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go see the Batman movie. And it just works. In that sentence, it works perfectly.
Yeah. The Batman movie,
Batman, the movie.
That is kind of funny, though, to say I'm going to go see capital V Batman movie because that actually doesn't make sense.
No.
Because... I'd be like if you're saying, I'm going to go see Star Wars movie.
I'm going to go see Dune movie.
I like that, though. Just like it's like a positive of just saying what the thing is right afterwards.
Well,
you know?
in 1966, if you just switch the first two words around, that is what it was called. Batman the movie.
That's true. I'm going to start doing that for everything. I'm going to go see Hadestown musical.
Like a robot, like query.
Yes.
Clarifying the type of sentence you're about to say.
Well, ties into your premise since, well, this is more Batman, but Star Wars, since there's so many different versions of it. I'm about to go see Batman book, Batman movie, Batman TV.
Right.
Did you read Batman comic book?
Love Batman comic
book. I'm
going
to go to Walmart store.
Uh-huh.
This is just what I'm going to say from now on.
I like it.
Hi, I'm looking for Batman comic 1.
Good luck. That would be hard to find. Jeez.
It is funny These though, days? Like thinking about the title, like it's a funny place to start, but it is the only impression you have before you see the movie is the title and perhaps the advertising, but this was a good movie, I think.
Yeah.
And the title doesn't 100% feel like it makes any sense in line with the movie. Not that, like, I can think of a better one, but, like, the Batman, that's kind of, like, the way criminals refer to him or whatever.
Right.
And I suppose this movie is saying that everybody is a criminal.
I think that it's, like, sure. But I don't know if this was intended or not, but, you know, there's going to be a million more Batman movies,
right,
like, after we die. So, like, you know, it's maybe it's just kind of putting a flag, be like, I don't know, it's not going to be called, like,
one.
Batman, the darkest night of mansions haunted.
Right.
It's just
Batman Tokyo Drift.
Exactly.
Yeah. It definitely is just, I mean, I wonder if when asked if the director and writer and everybody could pull out an artistic explanation for why the, but it is definitely just a, we had to have a distinction between this one and other franchises.
Right.
And it's like the putting the Amazing Spider-Man instead of just Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like we had to have something there to make it let you know that this is different.
They could have kept going with those, by the way. Like every time they rebooted, they should have just gone like Ultimate Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man,
yes, spectacular.
Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
They have so many you could choose from, just like from comics, that they could keep going for a while and they would not have to come up with an original one.
With
it
the title of the Batman, though, like I feel like it's not important. I don't think they care about it that much, and I like it because isn't the first thing they throw up like on the screen, isn't just like, here's the title of the movie, let's move on.
It happens very fast.
It's like boom.
Yeah, the like style alone of this movie I think is like worth praise, but then that very thing you just said, they're not interested in like catering to the lowest common denominator. We never saw the pearls on the ground.
Right.
It started at like year two of this version of the Batman. I think it was just
even,
like so many smart decisions, even just from like go.
He even had a journal that said year two.
Right.
So that we could all know this isn't, he's not brand new.
Right.
But he's also not seasoned yet, all right? He's pretty good at his job, but he's not the best at his job.
Right.
He still makes mistakes.
In terms of making a movie, though, like, I think I would have been annoyed if it, like, took its time with some self-important, how I think Danny Elfman and Tim Burton did it. Like, it's a very long, prolonged, like, intro with, you know, the score and then the title. I think this movie was, like, I don't know, like, again, there's going to be so many of these movies, like, instead of trying to be like, this is the one, like, this is, like, there's going to be more, like, good for Tim Burton and, like, Danny Elfman for making that kind of a thing, but we're not, like, concerned with that.
Right. Because it's the, like, the Batman movie for the superhero movie age.
Yeah.
Like, sure, the Dark Knight movies were around at the same time as, like, the first Iron Man and stuff, but the first Iron Man was not the superhero movie age.
The first Iron Man did not have a plan. And that was good. That was good.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, speaking of the Dark Knight, there's been a lot of discussion online and on TikTok where people are like, the Batman is better than the Dark Knight, or vice versa, or people being like, you know, that's crazy, that's insane. The best, I think the maybe most like cogent take I saw, I don't know if I fully agree, but people were like, the Dark Knight is a better movie, but the Batman is a better Batman movie. Mm-hmm. Which is like, okay, that kind of makes sense to me. I can like see that, because the Batman definitely felt to me, like the way I described it after the fact, I was like, I felt like I watched a Batman comic book of a story that I hadn't read yet, mm-hmm. and so I didn't know where it was going to go, but it was like an adaptation of a storyline of a Batman comic book that I hadn't read. And so I was like, yeah, this feels very Batman-y. It feels like, how Batman is it? It felt very Batman-y.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of stuff. You got your gadgets. You got a cool car.
I think of it as more like being asked, what's your favorite beer? I would say, oh gosh, I have so many. I have like a kind of some go-to types, and maybe seasonally I have like a favorite, but I feel like picking which one's better feels sort of like a self-imposed comparison where you don't have to compare them necessarily. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that way too a bit because it's, you know, again, maybe it's just because we live in the superhero movie age where we know there will be so many and there have been so many and there will be so many after. But mm-hmm. I there are things that were inescapable for me with this movie and Dark Knight. Like, this movie doesn't happen without Dark Knight, period. Like, just like there are ideas that were explored in both. Right. You know, in general, I've said this before, but it's like, I mean, it's Batman, so that, like, you can print money on that. They can do whatever story yeah, they want. Right. That's why we got Batman Begins, was because they, like, you know, didn't do so well with Batman
like,
and Robin.
I like this director and
exactly.
We'll give him a Batman. Yeah.
So now we are kind of at that point once again, I think, where they're just like, I don't know, this guy did those Planet of the Apes movies. Let's see what he does. We're going to make money no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, it's true. Well, guys, I think we have to compare them because they both have Batman in the name. All right? So that's my take, uh-huh. is we have to rank every single Batman movie on goodness.
On goodness.
All right.
On goodness.
Last Jedi. Or are we comparing Star Wars to every Batman movie?
Yeah. What's
every Star Wars to every Batman movie.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Here's what I want to do. Okay. Yes. Yes to that. We have to compare every Star Wars movie to every Batman movie. But first off, which Batman movie is which Star Wars movie?
Oh.
All right. Here we go.
You
Here
know,
we
that's
go.
Making me think, though, like comparing the collective of Batman movies to the collective of Star Wars movies or Star Wars canon, as it were. That's where this movie will lose somehow Star Wars is at points because it is so singular and it is not like any holdover actor portrayals of characters. Like, of course, all the characters are the same, but they're like different versions of them. But like,
yeah.
Well,
and it's not connected to anything else. You're right. It is.
Right.
I mean, it is connected in the fact that it is like, you could argue there's inspirations from other films and everything, but it is wholly separate in the new. And honestly, I like, I don't think I could see this Batman next to a Superman. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, I don't think that would make sense to me. I don't think I could see this Batman next to a Flash or anything like that.
That's a good point.
And so it feels to me like DC is doing the thing that they... Because I honestly am like kind of psyched for DC's movies coming up. Because it feels like they learned from the Justice League that they were like, okay, Marvel's success was kind of singular and
they were first to market.
Yeah.
This
and
whole
sort of,
cinematic universe thing. Like, if you can't beat them... Try to figure out a different way to do it.
Yeah, it's sort of like inimitable. You can't like that. You can't do it again because it sort of happened on accident in the first place. And so I feel like they've started doing this thing where they're like, okay, well, we'll just make a bunch of them, and they won't like if we want to combine them later, we can. But like they're already exploring the stuff in the new Flash movie where it's going to be like going into different realities or whatever. And I feel like that's what they're leaning into, especially with the fact that Marvel's trying to get into that with like the multiverse of madness or whatever and everything, which is just insane that in the year the 2022 of our Lord Jesus Christ, Joshua Carpenter, MD, which is a reference that is lost in the lost episodes, but it was a really funny bit that Mike and I did. It's crazy that like the mini worlds theory that is like explored in comic books is mainstream Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
And I will always be depressed that Marvel beat them to it and DC created the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Like they beat them to it with Spider-Verse, you know, even before the Spider-Man commercial that came up at Christmas time. But like DC made the multiverse, and they could not, you know, get anything up and running to make it to that point because Zack Snyder, among other things, but...
Right.
Yeah, DC's multiverse stuff is, like, well, not always good, but, like, the things that are, like, groundbreaking and huge are groundbreaking and huge and existed in a much, like, grander way before Marvel started getting on the action in comic books.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It is sort of backwards that we're getting that in reverse in movies.
Yeah.
It's totally backwards because DC is the one. DC has the pedigree and somehow they missed out on it. And Marvel, once again, that is that upstart kid coming up here. Even though I guess for movies, it's sort of reversed now because DC is the underdog pretty much all the time.
Well, Disney is Marvel and is Star Wars, but in terms of what they've been doing with their movies in recent history, I feel like DC and Star Wars are more on the same page because it's a lot of kind of like fuck ups and then reactions. Like, yeah. The Flash movie's just a reaction. Like, they're just like, I don't know, we're going to reset the timeline. Like, that's what's going to happen in the end. We all know it. So, I think that, you know, in the same way that the movies have paused and they're just like, I don't know, we'll make TV shows where things don't actually happen.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, because the focus is on like lore. And continuing to fill in words where there aren't any, you know, right. Like, yeah. Oh, these people love lore.
They love lore. The DC movies are reactionary. You're totally right. Like, even the Suicide Squad, once again, just putting a V in front of things, right. which I enjoyed, was essentially a reaction to like, oh, the last one wasn't very good, was it, guys?
Right.
We kind of, that was a bad movie. Okay, well, let's try to make a good one this time. Instead of being like, I had an idea for a movie. It's like, let's, even the Batman, you could argue, is reactionary because it's like,
yep.
Okay, well, they didn't like Ben Affleck's Batman, so let's try someone entirely different. Let's get like a little skinny, tall, mopey boy to be Batman.
Yeah.
Which let's talk about the actual movie. We're all like in the ideas about the movie instead of the actual movie, you know?
I think,
how do we feel about old Robbie Pattinson?
I would say this is the best Batman movie of all the Batman movies.
Mike's been crying. Okay. He's been trying to hold back tears. That's why it took him a while to get that out.
It's taken, I saw it now a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's just the fact that like every couple days I'll like think of something and go, wow, that was really a smart, interesting thing that like, it just kind of keeps sticking with me. And like, the themes of like, you know, like the year two is such a perfect time period for this because like one of the first things we see is like shots of dark alleys with the notes of like, I've instilled enough fear into criminals that they know not to like go out at night, essentially, and like to not trust dark corners and stuff. And like by the end of the movie, the Batman learns like, yeah, but like vengeance and fear like are good weapons, but they're not like really a heroic strategy.
It's not sustainable.
Right.
It's not a sustainable way because you have to like, I think that is cool because we do see the Batman become a hero in this.
Should have like, been called the Batman Becomes.
Ooh, there we go.
Hero.
We see him be the Batman becomes a hero.
At the very end.
Yeah. We see him become a hero, whereas like before he's definitely like a predator. And then at the end we're like, oh, he's a hero.
Right.
I think people are gonna actually like him now because they saw him in a really big way, like go out of his way to be helping people.
Like the second or third time I heard either him or someone else refer to him as Vengeance, like it was his name, I was kind of like, this is weird that they all keep saying this, but like it was all leading to that moment when like the Riddler's sniper parrots it back to him saying his name is Vengeance,
okay,
and Batman's kind of like, oh shit, maybe this isn't the right like ethos.
We're already there.
The Riddler
thought that I was gonna save that because I'm still confused by that moment, and I don't care enough to Google anything because I am not gonna click on any article. It's like 8 things you might have missed from Batman. But I'll say this like from the outset, I feel like I was rooting against this movie in a way because I'm just always waiting to see the machine at work, like, because we could see the machine at work, especially in like Star Wars and like the Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett. Like,
right.
I was waiting for like scene one. They do mayoral debate on TV, and I was like, oh, are they gonna like give these people like catchy Easter egg names so like everybody's gonna be like, oh,
yeah,
but right. They did do some of that, but they built to it, which I appreciated because that's, you know, the Easter eggs and the franchise building and all of that are always kind of annoying to me, right. Like, because that's all we have these days. But the way that they presented that moment with, like, the sniper is, like, they unmasked him and, like, it felt like we were supposed to know who he was, but
sure.
A, like, his face was, like, beat to shit, but he looked like Paul Dano, I thought.
He did look like Paul
Dano.
And
then
yeah.
I thought I heard they, like, literally just used Robert Pattinson's voice, like, when he said, "I'm vengeance." It sounded like that to me.
Huh.
And I was like, again, me trying to, like, see the machine at work. I'm like, are they going to be like, oh, that's his, like, long lost brother he never knew about? Like, right. Trying to wait for those kind of twists. But I don't think it was. You know, I think
I think it was just the payoff of, like, him seeing, it was like going into the dark Dagobah cave and, like, cutting off Darth Vader's head and realizing it's you, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's what eventually, you know, it is. But, like, the way they filmed it, I felt like, why even unmask him if we don't even, you know, I feel like an unmasking is such, like, a aha Scooby-Doo moment.
Sure. What's interesting is, so gosh, wow. So we're jumping right to the end of the movie.
Well, yeah,
but
we got there by saying Batman becomes a hero at the end.
The movie.
Basically, a natural disaster. There is the Riddler engineers a natural disaster in the streets of Gotham, because apparently Gotham is a harbor city like New Orleans that it could be underwater immediately if it needed to be.
He blows up strategic points of the seawall.
And so he engineers a natural disaster where all of Gotham is flooding. They all go into a stadium that is the downtown building in Chicago.
Right.
Or it looks like it. There's a lot of Chicago shots in this. It's always great when you see the L. Love to see the L in a Batman movie. It's always
fun.
Love it. I'm like the brown line.
This Gotham looked good.
Yeah.
This Gotham did look good. This Gotham was very cool. And this Gotham was cool. The Wayne Mansion was cool. It was like very like gothic. Yes, right? It was so like the internals of the Wayne Mansion. I was like, why does anybody live like this? I was like, everything's so sharp.
Yeah,
like,
it looked sort of cave-like with sort of like ornamental stalactites.
With a staff of two, Alfred and then Lady, who's just there to answer the phone. Like, they wrote the script and they're like, oh, shit. Like, I guess we have to have somebody else there. Who's going to pick up the phone and be like, hey, Alfred got blown up.
Alfred gets blown up, but don't worry, he doesn't die. So, anyway,
it's
Batman
because
proves
he's
himself
had the ring for so long that it's given him unnaturally long life.
Right. The Batman becomes a hero in the end by basically saving people instead of
beating
the shit out of criminals.
Other people up.
Yeah, and so it's sort of this, like, reversal where he realizes, like, oh, shit. And then also, the Riddler's, like, incel, alt-right, like, radicalized followers, seeing them say the things that he says is what, like, lets him have this epiphany. Which, like, Charlie had a good point where this movie was, which I sent a tweet to Mike earlier, and it was like, people are overthinking this movie. They're like, oh, the Batman is about ACAB, or the Batman is about, like, hating white people, or the Batman is about the gig economy or whatever. And they were like, no, the Batman is about how fucked up it would be if there was someone named the Riddler. And I was like, I think that at the end of the day, that is basically what this movie is about. They're like, what if we just made a Riddler story?
Right.
But there is some weird, like
but
Charlie
he's
was
done
saying,
like Seven or like the Zodiac, like a real sort of
like a serial
fucked
killer
up criminal,
which, like, Charlie was saying, there was some weird stuff that she was like, were we supposed to be getting like January 6th vibes from the Riddler's guys? Because, like,
I think the Riddler, so they just, like, missed on the number of followers.
Yeah,
do you remember that part where someone's like, okay, he's streaming live now and he's got like 500 followers? And it's like,
well,
that's nothing.
Well, I think the idea
there
is that
he needs to have like 20,000.
I think the idea there is that he has like 500 followers on like 4chan,
like, and
which
they're
is
all
like
willing
that
to jump into action. Yeah, right.
Mike
yeah,
left
exactly
the movie at that point because
I was like, 500. I have 500.
I know 500 people personally. But like, there was a little. It was sort of mixed messaging because like the Riddler is right. in that.
Yeah, right. He's exposing the lies of both criminals and police and government people of Gotham City. They're all using Thomas Wayne's endowment funds, renewal funds, mm-hmm. for criminal enterprise, as opposed to their true purpose, which is like making the city be better.
Yeah, they're using it as like a slush fund, basically.
Yeah.
And so the he's right. And it, once again, in classic like comic book movie fashion, the villain is right.
I was waiting for you to come around on this part.
The villain is correct. The only bad thing they're doing is killing people. So like, because the Riddler's point is that the government and the police are all corrupt and we can't trust them and they're all lying, which is true, and also is true in Gotham for sure,
mm-hmm.
and is true in real life to an extent. And then the only negative is that he is then murdering those people instead of, like, I don't know, bringing them to justice or whatever.
Right.
And so then...
But,
it's a little weird.
In so doing, he is using Batman unwittingly as his own piece of the game. So like,
they're
in terms
actually
of, again,
playing on the same side in a way.
Right. So in terms of our title reboot of The Batman Becomes a Hero at the end, he realizes that he was essentially also doing, you know, like if the Riddler was right and the Batman was working for the Riddler without realizing it, the Batman was doing good things, you know, like,
yeah.
Like he now is also privy to the lies and wasn't before this. So he can now do his no guns, like, better way of handling thing, you know, like, because the Riddler gave him that.
Right.
Yeah. Which, once again, is weird because it does that even itself makes it be like, so the Riddler is a good
guy? To like make a city better, it takes a bad guy genius to like tell the people how to fix it.
But yeah, he has to have been a wronged orphan to do it. So we need the bad system.
Yeah,
we
right.
do.
Although, I don't know, like every... I like the idea that... like you said, he's not starting from the beginning. He's a couple years in, but like this entire movie is just like lesson after lesson to make him a better Batman, you know? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that, even if it's a little messy or like it doesn't, it's nothing like, what were the villains in, the fucking Flag Smashers. It's nothing like that where they're like, oh, we're supremacists.
You mean,
and
infants,
it's like, well, what's that?
Infant's Nest? Infant's Nest in her
yeah,
game?
Infant's yeah. Nest. Like, our good friend Infant's Nest.
Regardless of if it was a little messy, they like made
forgot about them.
intersectional points. I think it's also funny that, you know, the sort of Harvey Dent character of The Dark Knight is the guy who's trying to do the Batman thing, but under the light of day and by the book.
Yeah. By the book.
And then he ends up becoming corrupted at the end. And in this movie, the sort of like on the level version of Batman is their sort of like, I don't know, like AOC type stand-in.
Yeah.
The sort of like
young progressive
woman
politician.
Mayoral
yeah.
politician. And then, of course, like it takes her trying to stoke hope in the good way to make Batman realize like being a hero isn't just beating up guys. And then it also takes the only other like woman of color in this movie, Catwoman, to like put him in his place about like, well, I don't know what your whole thing is, but you must be rich. Like, you must have been raised rich.
Yeah.
Because you think people have a choice.
Right.
Yeah.
You think
yeah,
people
yeah.
are free?
I did like that.
Which is like always been a Catwoman thing, I think, no matter what, in any incarnation.
Sure.
Like, that was in, I mean, it's in the comics, obviously, but it was in Dark Knight Rises, too. Like, she says, like, once you do what you have to, they'll never let you do what you want to. I don't think Catwoman can come from any other place than like,
sure,
you know, a lower place, because, you know, obviously she's stealing, but like,
yeah,
imagine her just being a rich lady who likes cats who steals.
Right.
Yeah. Which I think, isn't that Black Cat in Marvel? I'm pretty sure she's what.
You're right. It is literally that.
Yeah. Which is why maybe that character isn't as compelling, because mm-hmm. she's just a rich lady who is like, what if I stole stuff?
And maybe fucked Spider-Man?
And maybe, which, gosh, recent Spider-Man comic where he like admitted to having the fantasies about the both of them. Did you see that?
God,
Delaney?
I tried to hold on to Ben Reilly era, but it was clear that they did not care enough, like that they're already planning to put Peter back under the mask. And I don't know. I know she's involved. Yeah. That's all I know. And he's in like physical therapy.
There was a apparently like a side story where Black Cat and Mary Jane, it was like a team up with Black Cat and Mary Jane, and then Mary Jane pretended to be Black Cat by wearing the Black Cat suit, and it was like a surprise thing where then like they think they've caught Black Cat, but then Black Cat comes in and she's like, it's actually me, and they're like, and then they're both in the Black Cat suit with Peter at the same time. And he's sick, and he
really
like wakes up. he wakes up, and he goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." They're like in one black. They're like doing a weird ogre thing. But then he like wakes up for a second, and he goes, "Oh, it's this dream again. Be gentle."
Oh boo! Oh boo!
You know, I know I sent
I know,
you guys.
It's kind of like it's kind of gross.
I sent
like,
this tweet
guys.
To you guys that I can't remember who said it, but it was like. The one thing I will say about that 3-hour-long Batman movie is nobody in the movie thought they were funny.
Right.
And I thought that was such a great way of explaining that thing that we're kind of now really sensitive to. The sort of like, oh, we're using our fake names? Okay, well, I'm Spider-Man.
The almost, you know, it feels like this, it still feels like they're embarrassed to be a comic book movie. Oh, I had to say this silly name out loud, and we're all wearing underwear, but I don't want to say the silly name.
Right, right.
Which there was a little, I mean, they didn't let him be named Edward Nygma, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He had a different last name.
Eddie, I think, like, to be fair, Eddie Nash, I think, was his original, like, comic name in the beginning. Yeah. I've seen a lot of it, back and forth. Eddie Nash, Eddie Nygma.
Man, you know what we haven't even talked about yet and our Zoom's about to run out is the friggin' Penguin.
I was just gonna say.
Yeah, what the hell? I'm honestly like.
He's probably pretty
mad.
Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. I was talking to Charlie afterwards and I was like, that's a little like, I know it's not like actually offensive, but the fact that they like were like, okay, we're gonna take Colin Farrell, a remarkably handsome man, and we're gonna put him under pounds of prosthetics to make him overweight, ugly, and scarred.
Right.
And it made me want to be like, that feels like he's stealing a job from a character actor.
100%. At the very least, it's like fat suits in the year of our Lord 2022.
Yeah.
Like, really, really fucked up.
It's weird, right?
I give it a pass compared to Jared Leto's Super Mario performance in House of Gucci, because he was playing a real person. Like, there's no way this is a real person on any planet. Like, just look at him. Like, oh, no, this is a cartoon character who's been made three-dimensional.
But it is funny that it's just like, he was the... I think he did an excellent job, but, like, surely there is, like... a more rotund character actor, to your point, Josiah, who might not be like the prettiest guy that you have to like,
like, was Danny DeVito busy? He could have still done it.
Right.
Like, he would have still been great.
Yeah.
It was strange. There's a lot to this movie. Should we just start a new Zoom and maybe keep talking about the movie
for a little bit?
So the Penguin.
Yeah.
He's very funny. I would say he's probably the one character that thinks he's funny.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's because he is funny. And also
he's a wise guy.
He, at least on two occasions, subtly does, I guess, what I would call the Bebop or Rocksteady from the Ninja Turtles cartoon where he says toidles, like something like that.
Toidles.
Yes.
He's Goyles, come over here.
Yeah.
Goyles.
I never heard that.
Yeah, it's like, where's this guy from?
He's from Gotham. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, that's a textbook Gotham accent
right there. It felt like a real city that doesn't exist. Like, there were pieces that I was like, hey, that's in Chicago. But, like, the people there felt like they live in a city.
Yeah, for sure.
Sequels, like, no matter what happened with the sequels, like, the Batman Begins Nolan verse is like ground. It's supposed to be, hey, what if Batman was real? Like, basically.
Right.
So with that, he's not even like thinking, I don't know, what if we just called Chicago Gotham? Like, pretty much. But this is, you know, the difference is like actually, you know, crafting a fictional city from obviously existing. Where else did they film? I don't know.
I think they filmed
overseas for some things.
Uh-huh.
I stayed through the credits and saw
Chicago unit, and I saw other units, but I couldn't tell you where else.
They shot in a spooky castle. They shot in downtown Chicago, and that's all I know.
There was the graveyard scene at the end was like in Scotland or something like that.
They were like, we found the spookiest graveyard we could find.
But yeah, instead of like, what if Batman was real? This is like what if the Batman was real? I realize that's like a stupid thing to say, but I actually was trying to say something real there. I guess I didn't really, but like, what if all things Batman from the comics was a real life thing, as opposed to like, what if here and now in real life we had a superhero? You know.
However,
like, yeah. It's sort of
like
a fine line.
They did a thing that you could have swapped with the Batman Begins stuff, because it is supposed to be like technically realistic. I think when he does that fucking bag suit, when he jumps,
yeah.
like that feels like that parachute suit. That feels like, oh, yes. Well, we have to make it real. It's like, no, dude, just make him like flow his cape out. Like,
yes, yeah, right. Just make him fly out his cape like in Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, and we'll all be okay with it.
Right, because in the Nolanverse,
they do it
his
in Nolan.
Cape has like polymer ribs that can solidify, yeah. Or whatever. Like,
I remember seeing like really making fun of that first shot from like the set when they're, I think it was during COVID and everything, so they're like, oh, the Batman shuts down production, and all it is you just see Robert Pattinson and bat ears in a big like trash bag. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the Batman we all know and love.
Trash man.
Yeah, there he is, trash man. So I liked Robert Pattinson in this. I thought he was good. I also heard that apparently he like specifically said no to bulking up for this role. Like he's in good shape.
Yeah.
And they have a couple shirtless like shots where they like focus on his back, because his back I think is the most defined part of his body. Mm-hmm. But he's not like ripped and he's not bulky, because like Ben Affleck got bulky, Christian Bale got bulky. He's like a lithe Batman, but then when he puts the suit on, he's huge.
Yeah, because it's and like armor and lifts.
Yeah. Which I thought was interesting, because I was like, this makes the Batman, the duality between like Bruce Wayne and Batman feel greater, because they look like entirely different people. Mm-hmm. Whereas like I could see Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne and Christian Bale's Batman and be like, yeah, they're like the same build, they've got the same thing going on. But with Robert Pattinson and the Batman, I was like, these are two entirely different human beings. There's no way they're the same person.
Maybe like, I'm just projecting what I want on this movie, but again, I feel like that is a choice like against type, you know, because it's like, oh,
yeah,
we like gotta have like the ab scene where you see the superhero abs, where Kumail Nanjiani is like as fit as shit for a movie that he's only in like 2/3 of.
Right.
Like that, yeah. That whole mentality, I feel like, well, let's just skip that. It feels glorified and like played out at this point.
Well, it's also dangerous, right, in a weird way to make these actors go through such physical changes. Like I was reading an article about Sebastian Stan for Pam and Tommy, which Charlie and I watched. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with that, but
no, I'm not interested.
I might start watching it. I'm on the fence.
But it was actually pretty good. It's also like devastatingly depressing because of the way the world treated Pamela Anderson.
That could have been a movie. That's yeah. I think the reason why I'm not interested. Like, we just watched My Cousin Vinny the other day, and like, we're never going to get a movie like that again, because it's like a mid-budget comedy.
Right.
Yeah. It was a pretty good show. It's also like not all the episode, like the episodes range in length from like 30 to 50 minutes, so it doesn't always feel like a full-length drama. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. All that to say, Sebastian Stan lost a lot of weight to play
Tommy Lee.
What's his face? Tommy Lee. And he looks fine in the movie, but I was reading an article about basically how he gave himself body dysmorphia because he was trying to lose so much weight. And then versus having to gain a lot of weight and be bulky to play Bucky. And then he was talking about how, like, he was like, basically every actor who has to do this stuff has body dysmorphia because you're only in that peak physical condition for like a week. And then for the rest of your life, you're like, well, I'm not that fit. So I'm not as good as I once was. And it's like, can we just stop?
Yeah.
Can we stop making these actors do this? If we can like put pounds and pounds of makeup and prosthetics onto Colin O'Farrell to make him the penguin, can't we just do CGI abs from now on for everybody?
Well, yeah, that's why people like Stallone and Schwarzenegger were in action movies, because like they already were known for being like big dudes.
They came prepackaged. Actually, I was going to say that Penguin, you know, they don't give Colin Farrell enough credit. He literally changed his body into that. No one knows how. You know, he made himself physically the penguin and scarred his face, and you know, it's just a treasure.
It was just stopped like doing sit-ups.
It's just something Colin Farrell's a good enough actor that he can literally morph his body at will. Right. That's what it
is. He's a fun guy. Just goes like, I like him.
And then he just is like, now I'm the penguin.
He does seem pretty cool. Like, I watched his episode of Hot Ones, and I was like, I like this guy.
If you ever choose to go back and watch Daredevil the movie, he's fun in it. He's insane. I like the character Bullseye to begin with, which is why when the show did it, it sucked. But, I think he just likes being weird, being
these
weird. Yeah, he really enjoys it. Like sometimes then he'll have to do like I think, you know, he got cast in a lot of like leading man type Tom Cruise roles that he probably either didn't want or wasn't the right fit for. Mm-hmm. But if you see him in like Killing of a Sacred Deer or The Lobster or, you know, everybody talks about in Bruges, like those are fun things where he's having fun.
I need to see all of those. I haven't seen a single one of those. Although, you know who else is that to me? And maybe not that he was ever in a leading man role other than 8 particular movies.
Zac Efron.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, yes, Daniel Radcliffe,
is, like, weird looking and character actor-y as fuck. And, like, everything he has done since Harry Potter seems like such a blast.
Did you ever see Extras, Ricky Gervais?
Yes.
There's like an episode where he's in
He's like
some...
trying to shed his like boyishness and so he's like a Boy Scout.
He's showing off that he has a condom in his pocket. And it's
That's
like
right.
a loose
and he's like 14.
It's like a loose condom and he's like, hey, check it out. Pretty cool, huh?
It's so funny.
I wasn't joking when I said Zac Efron, by the way. I think Zac Efron is a character actor. I heard someone have this take a while ago and I totally agree with it. He's a character actor stuck in a leading man's body where like he's just like a funny guy, but he just is too handsome.
Well, and he can sing and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like a real special type of performer.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Oh, Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman in this movie. And I think the Catwoman is good, like Delaney said earlier, and like coming from a place of lower status, like you guys were talking about, having to steal, having to, like, not having a choice.
And liking
the
cats.
The one, and loving cats.
Like, Anne Hathaway, I don't remember her having a single cat. Maybe I'm just not remembering that movie very well.
I don't think she did. I'm not
they
sure.
They were like, what if a burglar, but when she puts her night vision goggles on her head, they look like ears?
Again, this movie also does not say, like, Catwoman. For some reason, that's a bridge too far for the screenwriters to be like,
it's
and
like,
then
what
she
if
says,
cat suit and
I
what
am
if
Catwoman?
Hat that kind of has some, like, bunching in the ear region so it looks like ear.
My biggest beef with this movie is her stupid ass hat.
Yeah,
because it looks so dumb. It looks like she like why not make it like an actual
the goggles
burglar mask,
like ski mask
where there's real eye holes.
Like you're not like much further away from just wearing like a thong on your head.
Yes. It was so weird, like, to just
cover the
bottom.
Yeah, but my T-zone is covered.
It's like the like, the pantyhose robber thing that you used to see in, like, movies.
Totally.
Yes. Covering just the bottom of her nose and showing an oval of her eyes is the weirdest, like, looking, like, just choice. And also, like, the hat sort of having ears, but not really. It was just like, just give her
that
a fucking...
That, to me, felt an awful lot like... someone going, but guys, it's Zoe Kravitz. You can't cover up her face.
Right.
Like, whether that's a director or some kind of studio note, like,
but then
that
we
makes
cover up,
sense.
But then we cover up enough of her face to make her look stupid, where right. it's like like covering up just the bottom of her nose and like her forehead is like, well, this just makes her look dumb. It makes her look like she stopped. Like it makes her look like she has like a weird, like you said, like a thong on her head.
Right.
And we get enough of her face in the actual movie just in general, where it's like, I understand that it's an issue with superhero movies in general because they're always looking for excuses to take their masks off.
Right.
But like, just
like friggin' Boba Fett.
God
right. She has enough. She has enough chances to take her mask is off in this movie anyway. Just give her a real. I know it's year two and she doesn't have like her whole setup yet, but give her a little thing where she has like, I don't know, at least like eyes cut out and not just a huge hole.
I thought them being at so like dumb. Kind of on the same side, but at cross purposes was a good call where like they're both just like horny for each other, but then they kind of realize like, oh, we don't actually want the same things. I want to destroy the patriarchy and yeah. you don't want to kill people. Like she kept being like, come on, let's go kill this guy, right? And he's like, maybe.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. He's like the guy at the bar who's trying to get with the girl and he's like, yeah, I'm totally into, what was it? I don't know. Gardening? I love gardening. It's like, do you actually like gardening or are you just trying to go home with me?
This is reminding me of something I saw in a video today, in fact, that it was that Wisecrack YouTube channel. They were saying like one of the things that seemed like sort of a miss to them for the Batman was when he has the realization that like his dad's legacy, his parents' legacy was this like endowment that was being misused and appropriated by the criminal underbelly and by like the fucked up politicians of the world and all that, like that it was all sort of unbeknownst to Thomas Wayne or sort of against his wishes that was happening. And they were like, I kind of wish they just doubled down and made him complicit in all
right.
that shit. Like,
yeah.
And then made Bruce, who this whole time has like idolized his parents, like have to sort of reckon with this like fucked up legacy. Everything thrown at him is like, well, what does it mean to be a hero? What does it mean to be a vigilante? What does it mean to be a detective? Yeah. Like in that case, like, what does it mean to be like a son or what is, you know?
Well, it's funny. They kind of always tease those type of like mysteries or like sordid background past stuff in the comics, but in the end it's always like turn out to be like a red herring, like
right.
for some reason we must lionize the Waynes. They
yes.
cannot
yes,
they, are, oh. they must be sainted or his cause is in vain, I guess, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's I agree. I think they should have doubled down.
It would have felt very Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, very true. We are going very long. Should we try to go play a game now?
Yeah, let's play the game.
Because we've discussed the movie now. Mm-hmm, I feel like we hit most parts of the movie.
We never talked about Carmine Falcone, a.k.a. John Turturro, who is in my new favorite show right now, Severance. Are you watching that, either of you?
No.
Oh, no, you've told me about it, though. I need to watch it.
Is that the Adam Scott one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, no, I haven't seen it yet.
It's really exciting that it's like
yeah,
an original science fiction show that sort of has like Dharma Initiative vibes.
Ben Stiller, creator or director?
Yeah,
of
Ben Stiller's he directed a bunch of it and is like an executive producer. I don't think he like wrote it.
Yeah.
But, anyway, okay.
Let's jump to the pit.
Wee!
Wee!
And we're vengeance.
That's good.
We're back, folks.
Have you seen the like meme or tweet that goes around every so often that it's like, it's sort of a like yo mama's so fat type of thing, but it's like, this guy looks like an NPC that would shout,
yeah.
It's the bat!
It's the bat!
Yeah. Okay.
I am playing Batman, or I'm playing Arkham Knight right now, and there's so many of those guys that are like, the bat!
Whoa!
Those games are great.
And I love them. Yeah, I'm replaying it, I should say.
Okay, so this game is called Batman Actor Bidding Game. Because I didn't think of it. I'll just call it The Batman Game.
Great.
In this game, I am going to name a character from the Batman canon.
Okay.
Each character is played by multiple actors in film and television shows, both live action and animated. And you will take turns bidding against each other, saying how many actors you think you can name. So, for example, if I said, all right, the first character is Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'll be starting the bidding with Josiah at one. Josiah, can you name one? And if you think you can, you say, yes, I can name one. And then if Delaney, if you think you can name more than one, you would say how many you think you can name, say two. Mm-hmm. And then you keep one-upping each other until one of you doesn't think you can do it. And then you would tell the other person, the last bidder, okay, well, then name four or however many you think you said. So in the case of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Michael Delaney would say two, and then Josiah, if you think you can name the person who voiced him in Clone Wars, you would say like, I can name three.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I can't either, yeah. So that's okay.
So that's kind of the way it works. And then here's some clues for what I'm considering as like counting in this. Again, I said movies and TV shows. So movies count. TV shows count. Live action and animated count.
Series. Great. Yeah. I just watched two, so I'm fresh on this.
Oh, perfect.
Great.
Video games do not count. Does the title have to include the name Batman or Dark Knight or something like that to count? No. As long as the DC sanctioned character I name appears in the thing. And then the only other clue I have in here is Lego counts.
And just a disclaimer, I won't be able to remember or know any Gotham actors' names.
Show Gotham?
Yeah.
That crossed my mind, and then I was like, I don't know a single person from that. I'm going to probably have to verify some of the animated ones that you're already hot on. But okay, so here we go. We're going to start with Josiah.
Okay.
And these characters also sort of progress in terms of how many actors play them or how many I could think of when I was writing it. Okay. Josiah, the bidding starts at one actor for the character of Bane. Can you name one actor?
I can. I'm going to say Tom Hardy.
Oh, no, don't say it. Just say if you can name it. Can you name one?
Yes, okay. I understand now.
Yeah.
I can name one.
Yeah. And Delaney, can you name any more than one?
I certainly can't.
So then it would go to you, Josiah, at a bit of one. Can you name the one? And you already have Tom Hardy.
And I have named him Tom Hardy because I didn't understand.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So you get a point. In the instance where it went, you know, you say I can name two and then the next person says, okay, well then do it. And you can't, you don't get that point. Your opponent does. So.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, sorry, I might not have explained it very well. Okay, so Josiah has 1 point. The next one starts with Michael Delaney with an opening bid of one for the character Commissioner Gordon. And in fact, you know what I'll do? You have to have a minimum bid in this case of one, but the floor is yours. You can claim how many you think you can name, and then Josiah has to outbid you.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to go for more, but it's minimum one, I guess. Okay. And I've got a bid of... Am I doing that right? And then...
Yeah, so like you have to at least do one. You have to at least bid one. But.
Got it. Okay. So I will wager... Oh, I'm not confident on it, so I'm just going to say...
Just a number.
Three.
Okay. Three.
I was also going to bid three.
Can you do any more than three?
Let me think. Hold on.
And again, just say four if you can, or, you know, however many. I've got three for what that's worth in my head.
I can't do any more than three.
Okay. So you would then...
Delaney, do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jeffrey Wright... J.K. Simmons and why can't I think of his name? Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Damn. And Jeffrey Wright are correct. J.K. Simmons in what?
Really?
J.K. Simmons is the Snyderverse version, so he is in Justice League or Justice League the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, got it. Great.
What's the one? What's the third one?
I had was Bryan Cranston because he played him in one of the
I think.
Yeah, year one.
In the animated?
In the animated year one, the Frank Miller year one animated film.
Cool.
Okay, so let's see. You guys both have a point. The floor goes back to Josiah. Your minimum bid, you have to at least bid 2. You can bid more for the character known as Robin.
Oh. Okay. Let's see. Okay, I guess I'm going to bid 2.
Hey, Josiah's opening bid is 2. Can you outdo that?
Boy. I'm going to say 3.
Okay. Delaney can do 3. Can you do any more, Josiah?
I definitely... Wait. I can do 3. I can't do more than 3.
So you can't do 4?
No, I can't do 4.
Okay, then Delaney, the floor is yours. Name 3 Robins.
Okay. Burt Ward, Chris O'Donnell, and I don't actually subscribe to this belief, but technically it's correct, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I had kind of written down, like, I'm going to count Joseph Gordon-Levitt because in a Batman movie, his name is Robin. 3, you get the point there. I will, of course, also have accepted Michael Cera.
Lego movies.
I feel
count.
Like I'm letting down all of my Batman the Animated Series friends because I've seen that show so many times.
I don't know any of their performers. Names. Yeah. Is there one in the Snyderverse at all, or the Teen Titans characters?
The Titans. I couldn't.
There's one in Titans. I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know their names. It's Canadian. They're all Canadian.
Okay. Yeah, I think the Robin actor is actually Australian.
He is.
One time he's. He said something, and I was like, "Hold on, where are you from? you're not American."
Okay, so let's see. That was Josiah's to start. So we go back to Delaney here. You also have a minimum opening bid of 2 for the character of Alfred.
Okay,
Alfred Pennyworth, of course.
Okay. Let's see.
I think I can name 2. I think I can name 3 actually.
I could do 4.
Okay.
Whoa.
Can you do any more than that, Josiah?
Definitely not. I
okay,
definitely
let's
cannot
hear 4
do more
then,
than 4.
Michael Delaney.
Andy Serkis, Jeremy Irons, Michael Caine. And this one, I think I know, but Michael Goff?
I'm looking up.
Okay, that should be the one from Burton and Schumacher.
That's right, yeah. Okay. I was never going to pull that in. Yep. The one who's in all of those movies.
The guy who plays Gordon is also in all of those.
Right. Let's see, was that was 4. Jeremy Irons, is that in the Snyderverse?
Yeah.
Totally forgot that was a whole fucking thing because I haven't seen any of those. So yeah, that counts as 4. I think also wasn't Ralph Fiennes him in the Lego movie?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. So that's another point.
But he did not voice Voldemort in the same
movie.
That's right.
That's right. okay, so let's see. This control goes back to Josiah, the character. Minimum opening bid of 2 again here is Harvey Dent.
Okay.
Can you name 2 actors? Can you name more than 2 actors?
Oh, what's his freaking name? I don't think I can remember his name from Dark Knight. No! I can't.
Can you name 2 others?
I don't even know if I can do 2. No, I can't even do 2.
So
I can only
Delaney,
do 1.
Can you do 2 and can you do more?
Let's see. Yes, I can do 4.
Uh-oh.
Damn. I knew I was going to get outclassed in this game by this cinephile.
Yeah, right.
We got Aaron Eckhart was the name that Josiah was looking for. Tommy Lee Jones.
Uh-huh.
And this name I do remember from the animated series, Richard Mole.
Okay.
And another one that the only reason I remember this is because of the casting. William Shatner voiced Two-Face in one of the direct-to-video Adam West animated sequels.
That's right. like that's recent hilarious. Ones, yeah, like in the yeah. past like 5 years. That's right. Yeah. I totally forgot that. Of course, famously, both in live action and Lego, Billy Dee Williams.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because he played him in the first two, the two Burton movies. And then when it was time for Two-Face to make his debut, it was Tommy Lee Jones. And then Billy Dee Williams got a huge legal settlement.
They wow. continued. They might still be continuing that original Burton vision in comic books. And
oh,
they
that's
are,
right.
They're depicting Harvey Dent slash Two-Face as Billy Dee.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's, oh, and we didn't go over any other Banes, but, the Bane in Lego Batman was Doug Benson.
That's hilarious.
Because at the time he, on Doug Loves Movies, was always doing his Tom Hardy Bane impression. And I think he's probably just like friendly with Lord and Miller. And they were like, will you do Bane? Cause he had like, you know, two lines or whatever. Cause every fucking villain was in it. Okay.
I still need to see that. I haven't seen Lego Batman.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, I love it. Like it, but it has the problems of franchising.
IP.
Yeah, IPs. Sure. IPs, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that movie by myself on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Because I wasn't dating anyone at the time. and I ran into a former coworker of mine as I was walking into the movies by myself.
The story's too sad. Stop it.
Let's see. It went Josiah Delaney just... So the next one is for Delaney to open up the bidding. Your minimum bid for entry here is three, mm-hmm. and the character in question is Catwoman.
Okay. Okay.
Can you name three?
Yes. I can name three. I can name more. Let me see.
It's funny, too, because this game was a game on Doug Loves Movies, basically, but it was, like, they would say an actor, and then the game was, like, bid how many movies of that person's you think you can name or whatever.
Mm. I can name six.
Six Catwomen!
Holy shit, I definitely cannot.
Okay, let's hear six Catwomen.
All right, so we got Zoe Kravitz, uh-huh. we have Anne Hathaway... Uh-huh. Michelle Pfeiffer, uh-huh. and from
that's where I stopped.
Adam West, we have Lee Merriweather and Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
And I also know, because my friend Steve has me watch every DC thing with him, that the late Naya Rivera voiced Catwoman in, I believe it was, The Long Halloween.
Oh, interesting.
Let's see, was that was six? Let me just
impressive
there.
I've lost this game, but I'm enjoying it all the same.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Yes, correct. And it, you're right. It was The Long Halloween animated film or films. Right.
That sucked.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I started one of them, and then I think someone, maybe one of you, said they sucked, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna stop then. however, this movie we're talking about has an awful lot of similarities to that, in that it's kind of,
it pulls noir-y. A lot of, like, I could count several books that it pulled from without it being like overwhelming, just like elements that they pulled from.
Right. Okay, let's see two more, and it's back to Josiah for control. The opening bid you must reach, if not higher, is four. And the character you're naming actress for is the Joker.
Mm. Oh, wait. Let's see what's his name. Okay. I can definitely do four. I can do five. Five.
Hey, Josiah's opening bid is five. Can you outdo that?
I believe so. Let me see.
You know you can, Delaney. Come on, you know you can.
Let's see. Oh my God, what is this guy's name? He does everything.
I have at least seven in my head.
Okay, calm down.
I think I have eight, actually, now that I say that.
Why can't I think of this guy's name? All right, let me count these one more time. Okay, how many did you do?
I said
five.
Five.
Shoot.
There's got to be, what is that one that I'm thinking of? Damn it. God.
Come on, just let me have this one.
I don't want you to. All right, I will say that I know six. And by the time that I list the sixth one, it will have come to me.
Can you do seven, Josiah?
No, I can't.
Let's hear six.
Okay. One. We have Jack Nicholson. Then we have Heath Ledger. Then we have Jared Leto. Then we have Mark Hamill. Then we have, and this is the weirdest one to pull, Brent Spiner voiced him on Young Justice. Number six. Oh God, the voice actor I'm thinking of, I can't think of, so I'm just gonna fuck up this guy's name from the new movie, Barry Keegan or something. Shit, I can't remember what his last name is.
Let me see how it's pronounced. I bet you that's probably right because it's K-O-E-G-H-A-N and it's Irish, so it could be friggin' any pronunciation. I think I'm gonna give that to you because, like, that has been confirmed metatextually, hasn't it?
Right.
That he is.
I think so.
So, the ones I was, like, surprised not to hear were Zach Galifianakis and Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero!
Oh, God.
But then also Michael Emerson from Lost was him the Dark Knight Returns movies.
I forgot about that. Those.
Oh, and Joaquin Phoenix.
Ugh. There's a reason that didn't come to mind.
Oh, yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
He danced downstairs, I want to say.
I completely forgot about Joaquin Phoenix, too.
Okay, the last but not least goes back to Delaney for Control. Is opening bid, you gotta do at least five for the character known as Batman.
Mm-hmm. Five, okay. It's on me, right?
I know.
Or no, it's on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on you, Delaney. I know how many I can do, so I'm just waiting to hear. You're definitely gonna say more, but I know how many I can do.
You have it written down in a sealed envelope.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say... Oh my God, why am I blanking on this? I'm going to say just seven. We'll do seven.
What was your number, Josiah?
I can do eight.
Oh, shit!
I think I can do eight. Okay.
Any more on your end?
Let's see. Eight. I just have to...
Let me have this. No, I don't want to.
I don't want to.
Wait, let me double check. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I can do nine.
Oh, shit!
No!
Can you do 10?
No, I can do 9. Damn it.
Okay, then I guess Delaney, let's hear 9.
Okay. This is I almost couldn't think of this one and that would have been unforgivable. Kevin Conroy, animated series.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, Robert Pattinson, Bruce Greenwood in Young Justice and Under the Red Hood, and Diedrich Bader in Batman, The Brave and the Bold.
Okay.
Wow.
That's wild. Josiah, are there any others that he didn't name that you can name?
Adam West!
Okay. I knew I had another one that I thought of immediately, and I was like, why is Diedrich Bader my last one?
I know, I was like, Adam West?
Adam West?
Well, that was a huge runaway to Cinephile.
Delaney destroyed me.
So that was the game!
That was the game. Welcome to this bonus-sized episode.
Yeah,
we should start wrapping up. Let's figure out what we're gonna rate this thing.
Yeah.
I have to give credit to the great voice actor Kevin Michael Richardson from the animated series The Batman, who I forgot.
Course.
He's done a lot of voices. Now we can
go. Great. Well, okay. Is there sneaking around in this movie? Yes.
Doi!
Oh, I forgot. My biggest Star Wars note is that the new Batman theme they did is just
the Imperial
the
March.
Fucking Imperial March. It's like dun 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 dun.
Right.
Instead of going dun 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 dun, it just goes dun 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 dun. It's ridiculous.
Has Giacchino done a Star Wars? I can't even remember.
He did with Abrams. He did the Or maybe he did it with Rogue One. I know he has been involved with Star Wars.
I think he might have done
Rogue One.
Rogue One
sounds right.
Because right, so John Williams it is crazy. Like, the Rey theme. So I think
thinking of like all these composers and even the actors for that game, like, oh yeah, he's done a Joker before, right. Definitely. Or he's done a Star Wars before.
Yeah, he's gotta. You do a Star Wars every now and then, you know how it goes.
The teases and references. Again, like, they're certainly there, but I don't know if they're as overt as they are in a Star Wars reference.
Sure. It is funny, though. I know the three of us have talked about this on our little Twitter thread of, like, it's like it was walking on a tightrope for 3 hours or, like, 2.5 hours, and then right at the end, it was like, oh, and then don't worry, there's going to be the Joker. Like,
I know, that was weird.
Yeah. That was like, that was what I was holding my breath for, and I finally was proven wrong, but it was thankfully only in the last few minutes of the movie. Who told me this? Apparently, there was a cut scene that it was supposed to have been like Batman walking through Arkham,
like,
and he
Starling.
Says Joker is like, yeah, he's like, hey, it's almost our 1 year anniversary, being like, you know, I've been around, you've been around, we know each other, whatever. I don't know if that would have been better or worse.
Interesting.
But I think it might have been a little bit better, because this certainly just felt like literally a voice coming out of nowhere being like, hey, do you want to know how I got this part?
Right.
Yeah, that was sort of annoying to me. That was like the only thing that felt like when Finn holds the ball up to the screen.
Sure.
Again, it felt like the machine. Yeah. That's what I keep calling it. Like, it didn't feel like it had a lot of that. It did when it needed to.
Yeah.
It was less concerned with world building.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. That used to be something like I remember seeing X-Men 2 in theaters and like losing my shit when they interviewed Hank McCoy on a TV in the background being like, that's Beast. And now all that gives me is like the biggest of eye rolls.
Totally.
Yeah, you know, this movie did, to give it some Star Wars points, it did the Lucas thing of made it feel lived in. It wasn't worried about world building. The world was already built.
Totally.
Yeah, that is a difference between like the Dark Knight comparison is the Dark Knight is a sequel.
Right.
Like, this is not a sequel. This is a movie that takes a lot of assumptions because, yes, we have seen a million Batman movies before, but
it's
like,
a sequel,
you know, it doesn't
to all Batman that has come before.
Yeah,
it's a sequel in so much as that, like, to go to last week's topic of fairy tales, that like, it was the Brothers Grimm who just wrote down the fairy tales that had been passed around for ages.
Yeah.
Or like the Bible.
Do we have any actors in this? I bet we do,
Star Wars actors?
Probably. Wait.
Do we?
I want to be like, was Gollum in a Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, he was Snoke.
Yeah, he was. He was Snoke.
He was a child in a mosque.
Oh, he was. That's right. Okay, cool.
Child in a mosque.
There's been so many of these that it's impossible not to have some kind of crossover.
Was Colin Farrell? I guess I'm thinking of Colin Farrell in the friggin' Harry Potter universe now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Andy Serkis is the big one, so maybe there's others, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Me neither.
Other
than Gia
Caldano.
Should we've done a little bit of due diligence at the end here, but this is a bonus length episode. Mm-hmm. So should we get some units of measure and rate this dang thing?
Yeah.
All right. Mine's going to be cats. Stray cats.
I'm going to do off-kilter handwritten letters.
Oh, yeah, Paul Dano's great in this.
It bothered me that his handwriting was so bad, because like he seems to be really organized and smart.
Maybe it was on purpose so they couldn't track his handwriting.
Well, and it makes him look crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to do expositions from older father figures that immediately get undone by another exposition from an older father figure.
Good, good,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Also, this movie has 5 endings, and it like just needed to pick one. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it, for all these reasons that we've said, no new reasons, because I can't think of any. I don't know, maybe like a 3 or something.
Yeah, my score feels like it's topping out up under the halfway point, just since this thing is so sort of singular.
Sensation
within a world that it could have otherwise like fallen into the traps of just like paying off setup things. So yeah, I like 3.
Sure.
The three letters, the three handwritten letters I will be using are URL.
Good.
I thought that was great.
I'll go for 3. I'll agree with you guys.
Hey,
I like it.
3.
There we go.
Expositions out of expositions.
Oh,
why not?
Thumb
We're all
drive.
Agree.
That was good.
Yeah, thumb drive
was
good.
He was great. He was like equal parts the 7 killer and like the Saw killer.
Yeah, very creepy. Very cool.
He was. Do you think he could not know who Bruce Wayne was? Like, I feel like he's so smart that he knew like everything else except.
Well, and then
that,
when he was talking to Batman at Arkham, it seemed like he was calling him Bruce Wayne, but maybe he was just pontificating that was his like next guy.
That was the whole point, because we were supposed to be afraid with Bruce that he was saying his actual name, but he was actually just being like, Bruce Wayne got away. Can you believe it? The one guy that got away.
Yeah.
So he's got the right idea, but he kills, and he's very smart, except for one thing.
Yeah, one thing.
And that's the Riddler.
He's not the world's greatest detective. He's just the world's pretty goodest riddle maker. Also, this is the pretty goodest riddle maker. This is also like the first Batman movie we've had where he was actually a detective, which was
right.
Fun.
Right.
But anyway, we got to wrap up. So, do you want us on the internet? Because if you do,
yes.
Yeah. You can find us at How Star Wars Is It on Twitter and Instagram. Send us an email at agoodpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, Sandra,
tell about the Patreon.
Unread
Mike.
Matches. And if you want even more of us on the internet, you can go to patreon.com/howstarwarsisit for a weekly bonus episode and a monthly film commentary. We're almost done with all the Star Wars movies now. We're recording A New Hope this weekend, in fact.
Yes, we are.
And then we're going to start doing commentaries of other things, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So check us out over there on Patreon as well. And that's all I've got. What about you, Michael Delaney?
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter and on YouTube at Cormac Michael. For all you Star Wars pals out there, I did a video on the Book of Boba Fett. And hopefully, by the time this comes out, I'll have done one on the sitcom Family Matters.
That's right. Good. That sounds good to me. Well, in that case, sandwiches to Star Wars. It's about time for Tubby Bye Bye. So, like we always say,
we love you.
And may the force be with you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I am vengeance.